here with my guest, Dr. Ozzie Yaliz, who is a plastic surgeon with Plastica Surgery Center, and today we're going to be discussing cosmetic, relatively non-invasive procedures for improving your appearance and anti-aging. Are you with us, Dr. Yaliz?
I am. Good morning, Dr. Kolb. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Doing quite well this morning.
Well, Dr. Yaliz is taking over the, the injectables and other minimally invasive procedures. In plastic surgery, we have the more invasive procedures would be like facelifts, eyelid surgery, surgery of the nose and the ears, and then other body contouring procedures. We have had an explosion of injectables in the last few years. I'm an older plastic surgeon, and we used basically a couple of tools, collagen and some other injectables, but these had to be tested for because they were foreign proteins. And then later on, they developed things that were not protein related that could cause allergic reactions as easily. They were safer, and there has been a very much publicized increase in plastic surgery and in the media for these procedures. Dr. Yaliz, would you like to talk a little bit about what these procedures can achieve and how you can avoid the more invasive procedures for years if you use these?
Absolutely. We have, as you've noted, there has been a tremendous increase in the utility of less invasive procedures, on the order of a 900% increase in the last year or so, to the point now where the utility of things ranging from Botox to the fillers such as Restylane and Juvederm actually more than quadruple the number of surgical procedures that are being done in the country. That being said, as you noted, the older collagen derivatives did need to be tested multiple times, and people could have allergic reactions to them as they were derived from cows. Nowadays, we have a whole host of different products that are being marketed to cure everything and fill all the lines, and those range from the relatively shorter-acting hyaluronic acid fillers. Examples would be Restylane or Juvederm, all the way through nearly permanent ones that have utility upwards of 10 years. That in this country would be Artifil. And then there are ones in between that can last upwards of 5 years or and such. The current thoughts about aging are not only loss of volume, but also descent of certain things. So if you think of your cheek pad actually kind of being weighed down by gravity over time so that it actually kind of moves down your face, and these fillers are being utilized mainly to try and restore the volume and to take care of some wrinkles. Most commonly, I would say, the nasolabial folds, which is the fold that runs from the corner of your nostril down to the corner of your mouth, is the one that most people are concerned with. And with almost all of the commercially available fillers, if injected at the proper depth, you can soften those folds so that they are less noticeable static folds. In addition, you have the dynamic folds that are created from expression, for example, when you smile or when you furrow your brow, and those can be, softened through either the utility of Botox, which is a protein derivative that literally causes the muscle to not contract as much, versus trying to actually fill those in also with fillers. At this juncture, you can use both in combination, and you can use fillers of different types, meaning, for example, a Restylane type, which is a hyaluronic acid with a calcium hydroxyapatite type, which would be Radiesse. So you would use Radiesse to give you that deeper volume in your cheek, and then layer on top of that some Restylane for more superficial wrinkles. So really at this juncture, I wouldn't say that we've replaced the surgery. Surgery is still an excellent option and a very viable option for a big, dramatic improvement, but to diminish the signs of aging, the fillers have come a tremendous way.
Well, what I'm seeing, too, as a plastic surgeon who had been doing these bigger procedures for a long time, is that there are certain areas that aren't addressed as well with the major procedures like brow lift and facelift. People think that if they get their eyes done, the corner crow's feet will be taken care of, but that simply isn't true unless you get a brow lift, and even then, those lines can be very persistent. I had a facelift done last August, and I still had folds near the lower lip, and that is very common. It is actually not, with the first facelift, it is not always possible to remove all of the descent of the cheek. That requires something called a mid-facelift, which I just wasn't willing to go toward because of the suspension from the eyes and the need to suspend the lower lid in order to hold the cheek back up. I felt that that was a little bit invasive for someone who depends on their eyes so much. So the fillers should be used in conjunction with these other procedures that kind of set major portions of tissue back up. And to have success in your practice, you really have to explain to people prior to surgery what can be accomplished with an operation, but also what might not be accomplished. And if it isn't accomplished, I think these fillers and the Botox are a good way to, you know, correct smaller problems that you may still have. And they don't occur right away.
Sometimes
it, within 6 months of a facelift, you'll get restretching out of an area. So we spend a lot of time telling patients about, you know, the areas that we'll get good correction in, the areas we get fair correction in, and then if we only get fair correction, what can be done in addition.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And it's a very good point. The crow's feet are a tremendous, you know, the corners of your eyes are very difficult to correct surgically. And with a combination of both Botox to, you know, get those muscles to not squint as much when you really tighten down so those crow's feet won't be as deep, and then to do some more superficial layering of the fillers. Again, we can't make anything go away 100%, but I do agree with you that, you know, we oftentimes can take what would be considered a fair result and make it into a good result after a surgical procedure when we use those fillers and Botox in combination.
And I also want to emphasize that compared to the prior collagen products, this the hyaluronic acid does not suddenly, with multiple uses, become allergenic or promote allergic reactions. We had patients in the 80s that, after 20 or 30 collagen injections, were developing antibodies to proteins from cows, which is not a good idea because you eat meat.
Right.
I'm much more comfortable with the Restylane and Juvederm products because of what they consist of. They consist of something that we all have, whether we're human, cows, pigs, you know, whatever, birds. I think isn't the Restylane made from chicken combs? Is that right?
I believe that's where it started. Both of all these products, and that's absolutely correct, Dr. Colvin, that is a very important point to stress, that both the Restylane and the Juvederm use a proprietary technology that utilizing this hyaluronic acid, and that is something that all of us have and all of us make and turn over every day of our lives. And it's now a purified protein that is brought on at this point from mass quantities of bacteria making it. The amazing thing
is that's right, it's bacteria now. Right.
That the bacteria that make the hyaluronic acid, they make the same hyaluronic acid that we make, and they just replicate it on a mass scale. In the case of Juvederm, they make a gel out of it, and in the case of Restylane, it's more particulate, so it's actually a little bit more irregular of a product. But still, you can get the same results in excellent consistency, and you're 100% correct that the body does not reject it. It just looks at it and says, oh, it's more hyaluronic acid, just like normal. So it is not something that your body will either reject or have a reaction to. Rarely, some patients, if injected superficially, will get small granuloma formation. And that means that the body just reacts to probably either a problem with the injection itself or to an impurity and will create a little sterile, walled-off reaction to that. And that may need to be removed, but that is, thankfully, a relatively rare problem.
Yeah, there are also potential vascular compromises just from injecting too much into an area, and it actually acts as a mass, and it can close off blood vessels just from the mass effect. So,
absolutely.
If
absolutely.
You just pay attention to what you're taught in the courses, which we've both taken,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
not inject and cut off blood supply, I think that's more of just an educational thing for the surgeon.
Yes.
There are certain places on the face that are in more danger if you put too much of this stuff and then cut the blood supply off. And then, but we have rescue ways, too. If that happens, there are things you can do to rescue it, either removing the stuff directly through a needle hole, 18-gauge needle hole, or injecting another material to dissolve the thing. So you actually can take it back.
Yes, the Restylane, Perlane, and Juvederm families, those hyaluronic acid families, we thankfully have an enzyme that can remove the product in full. So you're correct. If it is something that, even if a couple of weeks after a series of Restylane injections or Juvederm injections, mm-hmm. you're not pleased with the result, you can remove the product without having to wait the proprietary 6 to 8 months for the product mm-hmm. to be dissolved.
Yeah, now I think that they're even thinking this product's going to last longer.
There are, with Juvederm, as an example, the Juvederm Ultra Plus versus the Juvederm Ultra, there's just more what's called cross-linking between the mm-hmm. hyaluronic acid molecules. And their thought is that the more cross-linking you have, the longer it will take your body to break those bonds. So if
right.
you have a whole bunch more bonds, it will take you longer to break them. Now, with Restylane and Perlane, which are both relatives also, Perlane is a bigger molecule rather than the Restylane, which is a more fine molecule. And that really just came from the way that they, I guess, mash it up,
mm-hmm.
For lack of a better term. And what they found, actually, is that they thought that the bigger particle in Perlane would actually last longer than the smaller particle that's in Restylane.
Mm-hmm.
But, in fact, it's proven out, at least at this point, that they're pretty much lasting the same amount of time, which is, again, as you said, anywhere from 6 months to a year.
Mm-hmm. Can you give the cost range from someone who's just going to get, like, maybe one syringe to maybe someone who's getting four syringes?
Sure.
You know, that's going to have more of a lift using the volume idea.
When I speak with patients about pricing options, and we talk about a couple of things. When we talk about the degree of correction that they would like to achieve,
mm-hmm.
and there's, as you've noted, there's fair, there's moderate, and, good, so you have to say, do you want to just soften your look, or do you want to really try to volumize, to reintroduce volume that has been lost? If you're really looking for volume, for example, cheeks, or, that malar area, that mid-face that you were talking about getting, like a mid-face lift, you are talking at least probably closer to a couple of syringes. And now each syringe, costs vary throughout the area, but I would say probably the average for the area is anywhere from $450 to $600. And that depends on the product, the particular product that's being used, and also the particular injector who's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have that degree of product, though, usually most people in the area, if you're buying more than one syringe, they will discount you additional syringes. Now, it's not that it's going to be free. It won't even be 50% off, but they may take $100 off each
mm-hmm.
subsequent syringe that you're putting in. Because at this point, you're layering. You're able to do multiple things at the same time and get a closer to a really good or complete correction. In addition, if you do have the ability to do multiple syringes, and you can come in earlier for a touch-up, instead of waiting a full year to come back, you come at 6 months, most times you really can use much less product the second time if it's at 6 months to get you back to that more complete or full correction.
So we also have some additional non-surgical anti-aging or facial anti-aging things that we can recommend. Our skincare department has something called a Perfector, which is a nanotechnology microcurrent system that actually helps lift the face through a technology that's been FDA approved just for about, I think, just about a year. I've tried this myself. It definitely works. You see, if you do one side of your face, you see the eyebrow go up, you see the cheek go up. It is a series of, I guess, 14 to 20 treatments and then maintenance after that. But it's a really good way, combined with what we were just talking about, the fillers and the Botox. You combine that with the Perfector, it's a really good way to get facial rejuvenation without the mega buck facelift and other pricing things that are probably, especially if you combine a facelift with your eyelids and brow lift, you can easily get to $15,000 for a surgery.
Absolutely.
So in this hard economic time, when people want to look good but they don't want to make that kind of economic commitment, there are things that you can do that are more temporary to get us through the recession, which hopefully will not even last a year. But until it's over, it may be, people are going to be more cautious with their pocketbooks. So.
Absolutely. And in addition, as you've noted, the downtime from an injection versus the down, or from a Perfector treatment versus the downtime from a facelift is vastly different. So,
right.
You know, patients can come in at lunch and get their Botox, and they're back at work in the afternoon. Most of those injections are done with either a topical anesthetic or with a supplemental local anesthetic, so they really can do it either on a Friday and go back to work on Monday with no questions asked.
Yeah, I'd recommend if you're getting injections to be able to put ice or probably not work for a couple of hours, just in general to pay attention to your swelling. And it's minimal, but especially if you ice and if you use arnica and some of the other things that we have available, you can have very little swelling and very little bruising. But you have to do it. You have to have some time to do it. You can't just rush back to work and get on the computer and the phone and expect to have.
Yes, I think with the injectables, with the fillers, absolutely. You got to be careful about that.
The Botox would be better.
Absolutely. If you can afford to do that, I couldn't agree greater. Because again, they're, no matter what you do to get it in, it's still a needle puncture, even if it's a very small needle. So.
And I think that many people do these injections, dermatologists, plastic surgeons, family practice doctors, GYN doctors, but it's important to understand that really only the plastic surgeon who's qualified to do the facelift, eyebrow lift, eyelid resections can give you the whole picture. The other practitioners are only going to be able to use part of the tools in the toolbox, and therefore they may not have an understanding of what you really need and how to get there. I think that from what I just personally know about facelifts and all of the facial cosmetic and reconstructive surgery, we come in as plastic surgeons with a huge amount of knowledge. So we can warn people if they don't have, one example is if they don't have really prominent malar bones, if they've got very, very deficient malar bones, there's some real danger in doing some of this stuff. You've got to, you have to be able to analyze the facial bony structure as well as how the soft tissue sits on that to understand the results of these fillers and whether or not the filler is going to be sufficient or you really need to do a procedure to get a result. Because you can get some surprises if you don't understand the anatomy.
Absolutely. I think training cannot be stressed enough. As a plastic surgeon, spend a good deal of our training just studying the facial anatomy and knowing not only where the, as you said, the soft tissue is, but where the bones are, how the bones interact together with not only the nerves and blood vessels, but with the muscles and the fat compartments of the face. And, you know, understanding that will help you as a plastic surgeon to better approach that, the problem of figuring out what would be the best thing for the patient. Because again, oftentimes patients, do come in and just say, you know, I feel like my eyes look tired. And, you know, eyes looking tired, it might not necessarily mean eyelid surgery. It may mean brow surgery or you know, a filler, in a different place than they would have thought, to achieve the result that they can only, that they express as just, I look tired or I look haggard. So I agree. Training is a very important thing.
There's about at least 10 different things that can be done to the eyelids, maybe more, and there's probably about, I don't know how many things can be done to the nose, but on some of these courses we attended, I was really impressed with how the injections can be used to hide nasal defects, you know, things that used to be very, very difficult to correct, might require crushed cartilage grafts. Mm-hmm. The fillers are now doing very nicely. So these are great tools even for nose surgery. I think in terms of eyelid surgery, there are things that can be done with the fillers that that can't be done with surgery. I mean, except maybe fat injections, which are, you know, have some risk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to go to somebody for these injections who knows everything that can be done in the area. And also, you know, plastic surgeons fix facial lacerations all the time. We know where all the vessels and nerves are. One of the major problems with these injectables is injecting it into a vessel. Collagen was injected into vessels in the glabellar area and resulted in blindness. And, you know, I'm not sure if any Restylane has ever been injected into a vessel that led to this problem, but certainly, theoretically, it is there. And so you need your injector, be it a nurse, a doctor, or just someone who the doctor pays to inject sometimes in these other clinics, to really know where these vessels are and where these nerves are. And
I would
avoid them. You know?
The standard buyer beware, you know, I think mentality. I think, you know, the consumer needs to be aware that yes, these fillers are oftentimes put in by people who are not trained.
In anatomy.
Yes, in the way that we're trained as plastic surgeons.
Right.
You know, and when they are seeing somebody and having them do their injections, they should have at least an understanding that if they are going to somebody who's, wow, you know, they're charging like $200-$300 less, there's a reason why they are. And, you know, it's not that they're not good at what they do, they just should maybe consider their credentials of the person who's going to be doing the injection.
Because you really want a full evaluation of what's going on. I mean, you wouldn't take your car in to somebody who just does brakes and expect them to look at the transmission and look at the motor and, you know, check the oil. They just do brakes, you know. And so some of these clinics just inject these fillers into the nasolabial folds and Botox into the glabellar area. That's all they do.
Right.
And that's a very small amount of what can be done, given the fillers, the Botox, the smaller surgical procedures, and then the larger surgical procedures. And it is the combination of these that gives the best result, and also the least amount of, I guess what you want to go for is the best result for the least amount of money.
I couldn't agree with you more.
And if you pay a lot of money for a procedure that's not the right procedure, you really haven't, you know, you haven't done that.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think you couldn't be more correct, Dr. Cole. There's a degree of customization that can be done, not only in your fillers and Botox and surgeries, but you want to make sure you have a discussion with somebody who knows of those options and can customize a treatment plan for you based on what you want and based on an evaluation.
What the danger points are. Like I said, that malar lack of protrusion, that's a setup for ectropion. And plastic surgeons know that. And they know that they need to do a lateral canthopexy to prevent that. But somebody who doesn't know that might inject in that area, and then voila, you've got ectropion. And, you know, it's like that tissue is lax anyway. You have to know to test for that laxity. And, you know, the thing is, your insurance will probably cover that procedure. I mean, it's something that you can probably get done on your insurance if you have a lax eyelid that ophthalmology agrees with is lax. and writes that letter to your insurance company. So, you know, these, I mean, other practitioners aren't going to know that you could get part of this done on your insurance. And that's why, you know, that's why plastic surgeons, you know, are valuable, because they know what they can bill to insurance, what, you know, what is needed. Maybe just a small thing is needed that is relatively not expensive, but, you know, you got to know the whole range of what your what's in your toolbox.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, and I don't think that can be stressed enough, that you know, the many years that we do in training, and then the continuation of our medical education beyond that time, just continues to add tools to the toolbox that we as plastic surgeons utilize every day to try and help make the best decision for our patients, and try and counsel them as best we can.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We've been talking with Dr. Yalief. He can be reached at 770-457-4677 at Plasticoast in Dunwoody, Atlanta, Georgia. Since we're on the internet now, we have to specify where we are. And and basically, we've been talking about relatively non-invasive approaches to anti-aging, especially facial anti-aging, since the baby boomers are getting older. And appreciate you being with us. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Dr. Coleman. I wish you a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're here with Temple of Health Radio Show. We have a few announcements. Prior to talking to Paul Murphy, we're going to be talking with Paul Murphy, who is our traditional Chinese medical doctor, about pain control using acupuncture. Next week on the radio show, Temple of Health, we will be interviewing Dr. James Oshman in his book, Energy Medicine and Therapeutics and Human Performance. Dr. Oshman is an expert in energy medicine, the scientific basis of biophysics, and has been interviewed on our show before. He's a wealth of information. And then we're pleased to have on Irvin Laszlo, who is the author of Science in the Akashic Field. Dr. Laszlo is a Nobel Peace Prize nominee times two, and his Science in the Akashic Field is an absolute amazing book on the theory of everything, putting everything together to explain not only the known science, but also the unknown sciences, the spiritual sciences that we've interviewed so many people about. For a copy of our newsletter, if you would email frontdesk@plasticoast.com, they'll be happy to email one to you. Or if you want to call 770-457-4677, we will go ahead and mail you out one or fax you one. We have Millennium Healthcare with Plasticoast. And in Millennium Healthcare, we have Holistic Family Practice, Holistic GYN, traditional Chinese medicine, massage therapy, psychotherapy, hypnotherapy, and homeopathy, a whole group of providers that can address your healthcare needs with integrative medicine. We also have Dr. Brett Butts with pain management, and in a minute we're going to be talking with Paul Murphy, who is our traditional Chinese medical practitioner. Do we have Paul on the line now?
So you had plastic surgery. What was it like?
It was great. Don't get me wrong. It was surgery, but the doctors and staff at Plasticoast were terrific.
Honey, you look like $1 million. You actually went to Plasticoast and had it done.
Why don't you? Plastic surgery is outpatient, and you'll only be out of work a few days. I love what Plasticoast did for me, and looking my best is an investment that pays in so many ways. The help you get from the professionals at Plasticoast is a bargain.
Plasticoast, 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available, 770-457-4677.
You had plastic surgery, Bill?
You bet I did. I got tired of the wrinkles around my eyes and decided...